Good morning. How's your air conditioning working? You needed the heat yesterday, right? Must be Michigan. Just for the sake of saying, so I did actually hope to sprinkle today because it is an important feast, the solemnity of the Ascension of the Lord. And I really don't know that the Ascension gets the high billing that it deserves. Maybe for so many years we thought of it kind of as a stepchild to other major feasts because it was an Ascension Thursday. But for many dioceses in our country and around the world, now it's been moved to Sunday because more people come to church and more of us have an opportunity to really reflect on the mystery and the grace, the little redemptive action that happens at the Feast of the Ascension. I would have baptized today because of the significance of the feast, but I see that the bowl and the sprinkler was put away. And my fault, I didn't notice it was put away. So feel free to bless yourselves. I do think that's an important thing to do. I hope you value that, and I'll do my best to remember it at the right time next week. I could have gone around and done it with my hand, but that probably wouldn't have been too kosher. So what's the bottom line? The Feast of the Ascension. I don't remember what the specific question was, and as I was writing this reflection a week or so ago, you know, the Baltimore Catechism came to mind again. Because really, it's kind of a teachy reflection today. And I'm trying to find a way to get a little warm and fuzzies in there, you know. But my motive of preaching really is fundamentally catechetical, so that we really understand more of the faith that we profess. It can't just be an idea in our head or principles on paper, but that to the best of our ability, and it's a mystery beyond our understanding. But to understand the rhythms and the movements of how we have come to know and express the mysteries of God in the reality of a very wounded world. I don't know if they're really worth anything, but I think in one of my living room drawers there, I have three or four of the Calvin and Hobbes comic books, you know, the big book edition. You remember Calvin? One of my favorite reads. And from time to time, Calvin would do a poll and get the popularity rating of his dad. You remember that? Of course you do. You thought of that when you woke up this morning, right? Anyway, if we did a popularity poll, how well do you suppose God would do? How would you rate God's job performance? Huh? I don't know if that's the best way to put it, but really the punchline I'm trying to get to is that the goal and the reality of the Christian life is union with God. Sometimes you just have to say that as clearly as possible. Sometimes religion or gathering in this way is powerful. It's essential because we will not be saved one by one by one. We are collectively God's people. And we are dependent not only on God, we're dependent on one another. The union with God, that is the goal of our Christian lives, is inextricably supposed to be happening here and now. Now, at the risk of embarrassing just a few people, I'm not sure why it's coming to mind, but I'm aware right now there's two couples that are preparing for marriage, and there's a couple sitting right in front of me. Hi, Juliana, how you doing? It's over a year now, right, that you've been married? Almost a year? Not a year yet? Wow. How's that working out so far? I don't want to put anybody on the spot. And then there's... if I can get the names right, Amelia and Christopher in the back. They're going to get married, I think, a year from July. And Christopher and Lindsay are over there, and they're going to get married, I think, in November. How about that? You're still planning to get married, right? To each other? Okay, I say that to them every time I see them. Now, why kind of make it kind of messy like that and name names? Because in some way, they, like all the rest of us, are expressing and experiencing in their lives, in their fresh and marital love, soon to be married in two cases, union with God. It can't just be some invisible thing that we're going to just get ascended into heaven like Jesus did. The mystery of God has to take place here and now. No, I don't know. I can't say I know because I've never been married for 50 years. But I do know, by the way of knowing people that have been married that long, it's not always an easy path. But you can tell a married couple that have worked on their love for one another. I just came across a book by the title of How to Stay in Love Over the Long Haul, something like that. How do you stay in love? And those couples that have been married 50 or 60 or 65 years, there's a union not only with one another, there's a union with God. Because the union of the divine life is ours right now in Christ, through his dying and rising, through the waters of baptism, which is why the signs and the symbols are so important. So what meets the eye in the reality of the ascension of the Lord is not the whole reality. More simply than Jesus ascending into heaven after the resurrection, the Feast of the Ascension really signals the essential movement of the work of our redemption and what it signifies. As a solemnity, it's recognized as one of the highest liturgical feasts in the liturgical year. Is it Christmas and Easter? No. Is it Pentecost? No. But it ranks as high. Why? It's obvious that the feast celebrates Jesus exultant, not assumed, but ascended into heaven. And that's pretty obvious. The reading tells us how it happened. What's less clear and not as often understood is that the ascension of the Lord is also the ascension and the exaltation of all humanity. That's harder to explain. The church expresses the paschal mystery. You hear that phrase a lot. Paschal is partly means to pass over. We just celebrated that through Holy Week, the Passover of the Lord, the Passover of the angel of death, who marked the doorpost with the blood of the Lamb. Jesus is the blood. Jesus is the one who passes over, giving his life, dying to save and set us free. The short term, the meaning of Paschal mystery, through death to life. But the Paschal mystery is expressed in three movements of divine action. It begins with the work of creation, as God creates out of love, for the sake of love, that ultimately all things will be united in love, beginning here. So our love for one another, not only in marriage, but the love of family, cultural society, the fabric and the intricacies, the weaving of societies together. And we feel the weight and the strain of that, do we not, when society and culture is in the kind of shape much of the world is in today. We feel it. You can't deny it, and I won't either. The union of God is still there, but we're distracted by all the weight and the weariness of sin and disorder and the deception and chaos of evil. So the first action of God is to create. Remember that God has no beginning and God has no end. God is an essence, an unchanging essence. And the essence of God is love. The second movement of God's work of redemption is the incarnation. And that work of redemption always pre-existed in God. You've heard this from me, and I'm sure other priests and pastors, for all your Catholic life. Jesus pre-existed in God. He was not an afterthought. Oops, they messed it up. Now what am I going to do? No, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, always present in the Father. In the fullness of time, as Paul expresses it, the fullness of time is the coming of the Christ through the incarnation. So that beginning was then the Annunciation, the angel Gabriel visits Mary, who fears, and yet, at the invitation, be it done to me according to your word. Jesus is conceived in her womb through that visitation of Gabriel. Jesus matures into the adult Christ, surrendering himself to the cross to defeat evil, the disorder of sin, and the sadness of death. So then, the Paschal mystery, through death to new life, Jesus, the divine Son, freely chooses to give his life in the letter to the Hebrews, a body you have prepared for me. God needed a body because we are physical and temporal. God needed a body so that we can be redeemed through our bodily existence into or unto our spiritual reality. We are already spiritual beings. The incarnation expresses two fundamental movements. Jesus descends. Jesus comes down from his glorious place at the right hand of the Father. He descends. He comes down in humility, taking on the reality of our human condition in all things but sin. He closes the gap between heaven and earth. I can't remember the name of that song. He came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. You know the song. Well, that's everything I'm going to say today. Have a nice afternoon. Who said amen?
I get you for that. I still got the microphone.
You get the point. So Jesus, God, descends in Christ. The Feast of the Ascension, obviously. Now Jesus ascends. But he does not go to God in and of and by himself. Jesus ascends, exalted in glory, now risen from the dead, receiving the glory. It's not just a way to get Jesus peacefully back to heaven. Remember, Jesus became human. He took on the physicality and the spiritual, well, he is our spiritual nature, took on the physicality of our human nature, and when he ascended, we ascended with him. I think another way to try to explain that, do you realize that some part of you is already in heaven? I would bet there, well, I'm sure, almost everybody here, I'm not sure who the youngest is, maybe Sophia back there in the last row. How you doing, Sophia? She waved. All of us have loved ones in heaven. And because they were loved ones, some of us was in them, right? I was in my mother was in me, still is. She's in heaven. My dad, my siblings, your relatives and friends, those bonds of love carry or exist between here and heaven. In some way, some part of us is already in heaven because of our loved ones there, we who loved them and they who loved us. More fully then, Jesus, who loved us most perfectly, became one like us and carried us with himself to the glory and the light of heaven, so that where he has gone, we too one day will follow, as we'll hear in the preface for today. The ascension of the Lord becomes our ascension because in the humanity of Jesus, he accepts and contains our humanity as he ascends. The ascension is the completion of the second movement of God's work of creation redemption. The completed work of the Son, physically dying on the cross, and now physically rising, body, soul, and spirit, soul and divinity, as the Divine Mercy Prayer will say. Now we begin the third movement. The third movement is the action and the sending of the Holy Spirit. Creation, redemption, fulfillment. We're not quite to the fulfillment yet, but we're in the age of the Spirit. Now Christ is in all living things by the movement and the breath of the Spirit. All created matter has been sanctified by the dying and the rising of Jesus, now imbued with the light and truth of his own Spirit. Again, to try to make it a little more real right here, feet on the ground kind of faith. Christ already lives in you and in myself, and God is made present in the world through Christ in us in the working of the Holy Spirit. To make clear in some way, to a degree, in the commissioning that we hear in the gospel. Jesus tells the disciples, but inclusive of all believers, go and baptize all nations in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that we are consecrated, we are initiated, we are immersed in the life of God through the waters of baptism, so that in one way or another, great or small, we are witnesses of Christ himself in the world. Christ is present in the world to the degree that you and I believe in his presence and do the best we can to live his presence in the weary and wounded world that surrounds us. We're already in Christ. Through his blood we have been redeemed, our sins forgiven. So immeasurably generous is God's favor to us. The invitation then is to know Jesus, to know him in himself, to not just know his name. That takes prayer. Prayer is such an important part of the Christian life. It's the foundation, one of the foundational pillars of the Christian life, to have a personal relationship with God through Christ, through prayer, to know Jesus personally, to sit and ponder his humanity, what his daily life was like with, as a person with a body, like you and I. Not that hard to reflect that way. But then also to try to ponder the mystery of Jesus as God. You can do that by reading the Gospels. Maybe, I hope, you already have a favorite parable. Maybe you have a favorite healing story. How did Jesus do that? How did he raise from the dead? And only by a word or a touch, touch someone and heal their leprosy, open their eyes from blindness, open their ears for hearing, raising the 11-year-old girl and others from the dead. That's the power of God. So Jesus was that agent. That all that the Father's love was poured into Jesus. And so open was Jesus, he emptied himself of himself so that the life of the Father could flow through the Son by the work of the Spirit and come into the world. It's the same for us. Jesus is an image of the Father. We're called to be an images of Jesus by the grace of the Holy Spirit. So with that, then, with that grace and identity as the beloved of the Lord, we're challenged and called to accept and to know and to love ourselves as the beloved of God. For that, we need the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about personal inner healing. It's challenging to grow up in this world and to love ourselves despite the faults and failures and mistakes we personally make all by ourselves and all the difficult and negative things that may happen to us. Jesus, indirectly most often, was constantly inviting people to love themselves, to feel worthy, to accept the mystery of the love Jesus was trying to give them. It sounds like an impossible task in this media-driven world, which is exactly why we are dependent upon and have been given the grace and the life of the Holy Spirit. So that if we accept and allow and pay attention to the movement of the Spirit of God within us, that becomes the root and foundation of our self-love. God likes you. God loves you the way you are. If that blows your hair back, get a new hairbrush. Let God love you. God's given us all the redemption we're ever going to get. Now, we have to grow and mature through that, do we not? Of course. We need the light and the life of the Holy Spirit. I know that on a conscious and more often an unconscious level, we are all seeking and longing for God. How do I know that? Because I know that God is always seeking and longing to know us. We think that this life and religion, we're finding our way to God, when in fact it's God who is seeking us. God knows where we are. God's coming to us, the hound of heaven, as it was once called, so that God's trying to break in so we can open ourselves in some kind of way to realize that that mystery of God surrounds us constantly, like a fish in water. I just read the other day this pithy saying, if there's a thirsty fish in water, that fish needs therapy.
Figure that one out this afternoon.
We're surrounded by God's love. And if we're not letting it in, something's getting in the way. That's why we have feast days like the Ascension of the Lord, that Jesus descended into the darkness of the evil and disorder and hurt and pain of this world, but he then ascends in glory and honor, having healed that. And then we spend our lives, sometimes very challengingly and sometimes very beautifully, to realize and allow and discover that love is within ourselves. The predominant theme of today's feast, hope, promise. We hope for heaven, and heaven is already beginning now when we can embrace Christ and allow him to love us as we are, despite the weaknesses and frustrations and inevitable failures that will be part of any of our lives. God is with us. Feel the joy. Accept the life and the love of the Holy Spirit. Live a life of peace. Do whatever you can, great or small, put more love in the world. And remember, you are on your way to heaven. I know there's no volunteers for today, but we're all going to the same place. Let's get along and love as best we can all along the way. Praise be God for the Holy Spirit.